bonus. Something extra that is good. BONUS. Bonus.
All right, guys, welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. I like doing these bonus for you every couple weeks. We have some fun topics. We typically do top five lists, and we have another one for you today. And this is one that a dear friend of mine is joining me. He's a frequent contributor and a frequent guest host on the show. He fills in for Andy a lot, and he bothers me as a friend of his in everyday life pretty constantly. But you guys know his voice really well. Chris Wiz is here. Wiz, what's up, brother?
What's up, G? How you doing, buddy?
Living the dream, man. It's been a while since I had you on. In fact, I think the last time I had you on was when you and Allison, we also went back to the 90s and we did rock albums, right? That was the last
time. Yeah, that was the last time I got to talk to you.
Yeah, so anytime we do 90s, you immediately come to mind because you're my BFF from... You're my BFF from that decade. You know, we both graduated high school and worked together for several years in the 90s and lived together and did all that crap. So I appreciate you coming back for another 90s top five. We have another special guest joining us. He's never been on the show before. He's a first-timer. I'm going to be going on his show in the future. He has an awesome music podcast called Playlist, and he's also does some other things he's been doing for quite a while. Some people out there in the Potter family will definitely know the name. He's been around for a while and does a lot of great things for the podcasting community, so I'm very excited to have him here. Let's say hello to Josh Hallmark from Playlist and Our Americana. Josh, what's up, man?
Hey, not much. How's it going?
Doing good, brother. I appreciate you being here. I know this. Let me tell everybody real quick. We're doing the top five hip hop albums from the 1990s. So 90s hip hop slash rap albums. And Josh, I know you said this is a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but hopefully you had fun researching and coming up with your list there.
Yeah, you know, in the 90s or the early 90s, I was in middle school, and strangely, that's all I listened to was like a white boy going to a Catholic middle school in like a very wealthy suburb of Silicon Valley. So it was nice to go back to those strange days.
Right. Well, that's awesome, man. Well, I'm glad. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to count down our five. Each of us have a top five 1990s hip hop albums. And then, you know, we'll just kind of comment on each other's. We'll see how many we match here. I think we might have some crossover. I don't know, because there's a lot of albums that came out in that decade. Don't get me wrong. I was talking about Wiz and his wife Allison came on, and we did top five rock albums from the 90s, and we didn't match one album. Can you believe that? 15 different albums.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, so it speaks to the decade.
Josh has got Catholic rap, so I don't know if anybody's gonna.
Yeah,
anybody's gonna match up with what his priest chose.
Yeah,
so
I'm trying to think who would fit in that category. We should do that top five list. Top five,
top 10 modest Yahoo songs. I'm trying to think of any other religious rappers.
There you go. There you go. All right, so let's see. I didn't do. You know, sometimes I have a lady on, so I always let the ladies go first. But we don't have any ladies this time. It's three dudes. So I don't know, who wants to go first? Who wants to start us off with their number five? You guys want me to go first, or you guys want to go first? Who wants to go first?
Yeah, let's switch it up, Jay. You always go last. Let's let you go first.
All right, so I'll tell you what. I'll start things off with my number five hip-hop album from the 1990s. So for me, I'm going back to, for my first one, I'm going back to 1994, which ironically is the year I graduated high school. I have two albums from that year on my list. The first one is from Nas, Illmatic is my number five. I'll tell you a little bit. I mean, first of all, Nas is, any list you look at or anybody you talk to that's in the world of hip hop. I mean, he's up there as far as lyrically and just his flow. And Nas is just an amazing rapper. I mean, I would say probably top five rappers of all time, definitely from the 90s.
I sit the dumb peak watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes. All the words past the margin. The whole of mic, I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement, understandable smooth shit that murderers move with. The thief's theme. Play me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a crack pipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time like Pappy Mason. With pins, I'm embracing, wipe the sweat off my dome, spit the phlegm on the streets, sway Tim's on my beats, makes my sight.
But it's got songs like, you know, The World Is Yours, New York State of Mind, One Love. Just a great rapper, great voice, great vocals. He kind of began that surge too of telling kind of inner city stories You know, it was told from like a first person narrative. You know, his troubled life kind of growing up there in inner city New York as a teenager. I believe he was like 20 or 21 when the album was released. So a lot of that stuff was probably written in his late teens. But Nas's Illmatic is my number five hip hop album from the 90s. You guys feel anything about that? You got any feels about that?
Nas is on my honorable mention. So I'm going to go with I do like that choice.
OK, good. Well, thank you. Go ahead, John. Yeah,
you're welcome.
I don't think I could name a Nas song, but I'm sure I've heard Nas.
What about If I Rule the World with Lauryn Hill? You probably heard that one from.
Oh, yeah.
That was a different album, but that was a very popular song.
Okay. Lauryn Hill. Got the middle school dance.
More or less. Okay, Josh, why don't you, because I know you said that you might not have a lot of hardcore rap on yours. You might have more just kind of a broader hip-hop umbrella. So why don't you go next? Why don't you give us your number five hip-hop album? What do you got over there, buddy?
Yeah, so I felt like the definition of hip-hop in the 90s was pretty murky. Yeah. So I, being a nerd, actually Googled definition of hip-hop, and this is what came up.
Go ahead.
Rhythmic music accompanied by both singing and rap or spoken word. So okay. That's okay. What I used to choose my list.
Okay, okay, as long as you didn't put any like Bee Gees on there or anything, we might be all right.
Did you go to like white apikia? I mean, that was like the whitest definition of hip-hop that I've ever heard. It's when rhythmic beats get together.
Yeah. All right, cool, man.
Well, it's, you know, they were like, we don't know what to do with black people music, so we're just going to lump it all into one category. So my first one is Reachin', A New Reputation of Time and Space by Diggable Planets.
It's good, man.
And
nice.
Yeah, because it was a really nice blend of jazz, rap, and R&B, and I think they also changed what it meant to be hip-hop.
Like the breeze float straight out of our lids. Them, they got boo bodies, hard rock Brooklyn kids. Us floor rush when they DJ booming classics. You dig the crew on the fattest hip hop record. He touched the kinks and sinks into the sounds. She frequents deep, fatter joints called undergrounds. Our funk zooms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, Boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount percussion? Where kinky hair goes to
unthink. They took samplings from jazz music and, you know, old R&B, and I think they were one of the first bands in the 90s to really introduce that to hip-hop.
Yeah.
And they also have, I think, probably some of the most sampled music from, like, today's hip-hop, like Rebirth of Slick and Nickel Bags and Swoon Units. Like, you hear sampling of those tracks in, like, probably 5% of all hip-hop albums. So, I just thought they were really revolutionary at the time. I think a little different.
Yeah, I got recently reintroduced to that because I hadn't heard it in several years, and I just watched the Netflix series Master of None with Aziz Ansari. I love that show. Me and my wife blew through it in like a week, and they sampled a lot of Diggable Planets on one of their episodes, and I was like, oh man, I haven't heard that in so long. So we watched that episode, and then I went back and started listening to all my Diggable Planets. This was just last week, so great choice there. Hey, I love that album. I remember back in the day, I was pumping that pretty loud when it first came out, so good choice there for your number five, buddy.
I like it. I got to see Diggable Planets early 90s at Ziggy's, right when Rebirth of Slick came out. So see them live. It was pretty intense.
Was I there for you? Why did you invite me to that? Why was I not
there? I don't think you and I were together as a couple yet.
Unbelievable. I can't believe you did stuff before you met me. What are you tell me about that?
Just a couple little things.
All right. Okay. So Chris Wiz, you're up, man. Your number five hip-hop album.
Oh, man, I have been vacillating back and forth, but I have got to go down to the Dirty South. And I'm going to kill the name or the pronunciation of the album, but Outkast in 98 came out with Aquamini, which is a variation of Aquarius and Gemini together. So whatever. Okay. But that was I loved all. There was three big albums from Outkast in the 90s, and that was really one of my favorites. It just blended so much of the funk, the hip hop, the rap, everything kind of together.
Many a day has passed, the night has gone by, but still I find the time to put that bomb off in your eye. Total chaos for these playoffs. Thought we was amps, and we're taking another route to represent the Dungeon family like Ray Day. Me and my nigga decide to take the back way. We stab in every city, then we headed to that back. ATL, Georgia, what do we do? Fall ya. Bulldog and hoes like them Georgetown Hawkins. Boy, you signed the silly thing. My room is sitting pretty, doing donuts. Why you suckers like them suckers around titties? Damn, we the committee, gon' burn it down. But us gon' bust you in the mouth with the chorus.
It was a big, down south Atlanta record. And I had a friend from down there who kind of introduced me to Outkast. And just really, it kind of changed my view of how rap could be. It was kind of an alternative, almost a prog rock kind of rap. So that was good. And obviously, they led that into some of their bigger hits in the 2000s. But to me, that was it was like kind of underground, but it was a great introduction to Outkast.
Yeah, it was great. AT Aliens, was that in the 90s? I feel like
that was the album right before that.
Yeah, I love that album as well. That's on my honorable mentions here, AT Aliens. But you got that. It's just a new twang they brought to it. And Andre from Outkast, he was that next kind of like big voice in rap too, and he kind of threw himself into the mix as one of those rappers that you just knew his voice every time you heard it. It was very distinguishable, so good choice there, man. I love Outkast. You can't go wrong with that. I do a lot of weddings, as you know, Wiz, and Outkast is always very popular at weddings too. So
hey, yeah,
people love shaking it like a salt shaker, buddy.
Or a Polaroid picture.
That's what I meant. What'd I say?
Yeah, shake either item. Yeah. Yes,
that's not 90s. I think that's 2008 or something. Okay, is it back to me? Right. Okay, so my number four is a personal favorite. I could have put this really anywhere 4-1. I mean, these top four are pretty much tied, to be honest with you. It's like 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. But for me, it's the newest album. It came out in 99, so it just made the cut for our top five here. But it introduced the world to Eminem, and that is the Slim Shady LP. Obviously, the only, well, I don't know if I'd say obviously, but just so you guys know, the only white dude on my list. He's but some of my favorite songs from that album, Guilty Conscience with Dre, Brain Damage, 97 Bonnie and Clyde, which is basically a story about him killing his wife and taking her out to the lake with his daughter to throw her in the lake. sounds very poignant. It sounds very uplifting, but that's basically what it's about.
Come on, hey, we going to the beach. Grab a couple of toys and let dad strap you in the car seat. Oh, where's mama? She's taking a little nap in the trunk. Oh, that smell. Daddy must have run over a skunk. Now I know what you're thinking. It's kind of late to go swimming, but you know your mama. She's one of those type of women that do crazy things, and if she don't get away, she'll throw a fit. Don't play with daddy's toy knife, honey. Let go of it. And don't look so upset. Why you acting bashful? Don't you want to help daddy build a sandcastle? And mama said she wants to show you how far she can float. And don't worry about that little boo-boo on her throat. It's just a little scratch. It don't hurt. Her was eating dinner while you were sweeping and spilled ketchup on her shirt. Mama's messy, ain't she? We'll let it wash off in the water, and me and you can play by ourselves, can't we?
I have a quote here from Eminem, because he got a lot of backlash for this album, because it was like, a lot of people were saying he was a negative influence on teenagers and youth and things like that, because of the subject matter was very taboo, and he was talking about murder and domestic violence and, a lot of things that just really weren't talked about in music, period, let alone in rap. But he said that he likened his music to the horror film genre. He said, quote, "Why can't people see that records can be like movies? The only difference between some of my raps and movies is that they are not on a screen visually," unquote. He's just a storyteller, right? I mean, it was stuff that you had never heard before. I mean, you never heard anybody rapping about, naming his, he was calling his wife by name, Kim Mathers, that he's killing her and taking her out. Obviously, he's expressing some feelings that he has kind of deep down there, but he's also just kind of creating a fictional story. Slim Shady LP was just, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Dr. Dre produced, and it was just an amazing album. One of my favorite albums to come out of the 90s in any genre was the Slim Shady LP in 99. Josh, I know you guys talked about that recently on your covers playlist episode, because I can't remember who had it on their list, but there was a Tori Amos cover of that song, right?
And it's interesting, because I never would have thought about it this way until we recorded that episode. But Donna from the Varmints podcast had likened that song to a Tom Waits song.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's such a wonderful way to distinguish the way people respond to hip hop and rap, which is Tom Waits was celebrated for writing music like that, but Eminem was called a misogynist,
right,
and a sexist and a piece of shit for writing music like that.
Right, right.
And I'm not saying he wasn't any of those things, but the response.
Right. But it's a double standard, right?
But yeah, I think he was a brilliant songwriter. He may not be like the best, most tip-top guy in the world, but I think he created really interesting music that changed hip-hop. And it definitely was the first time a white rapper was generally accepted. So I think that's
right.
Cool.
Right, broke into the mainstream there. Wiz, you like that pick? Did I do okay, man?
Yeah, you did. That might come up later, just to let you know. But okay, no, I enjoy it. But yeah, you know, I think he was the first real white rapper that didn't have like a kind of a funny hook or cliche to it. So I mean, you had like Vanilla Ice and Snow and these guys that came out, and yeah. He was the first, I think, really legitimate, you know, white rapper that came out. So I think that's what kind of broke him from the other ones and you know, kept that longevity of his career.
Are you giving a spoiler alert that Snow is not on your top five?
Yeah, in Palma. No, okay. The Jamaican Canadian. Okay. Yes, no, he is not on my list.
Okay, so number four for me is Slim Shady LP, and that gives us Josh Hallmark. What's your number four, sir?
So being a sensitive guy from the Bay Area, there's no way I could not have gone with a Tupac album. Uh-huh. And I went with Me Against the World because it was his last album before he joined Death Row Records, which ultimately, I think, killed his career and him.
his last thing before he died.
No. But I think this was his most accessible album.
Yeah.
And hip hop at the time was very like proud, aggressive, and just a limited genre. And I think he came out with this album and it was shockingly candid and introspective. And it really talked about like the dark side of being in the rap industry, right, and the dark side of living in Compton. And it just, for like a straight black man to be talking about his feelings in such a open way was really revolutionary and really awesome. And I just think from start to finish, this album is genius.
In the city, the cops are topping me. The project's full of bullets, the bodies is dropping. They ain't no stopping me. Constantly moving while making millions. Witnessing killings, leaving dead bodies in the abandoned buildings. Carries the children because they're illing. Addicted to killing and the appeal from the cap villain. Without feeling, but will they last or be blasted? Hard at it, bastard. Maybe you're listening in this casket. The aftermath, more bodies being buried. I'm losing my homies in a hurry. They relocating to the cemetery. Got me worried.
Tupac's grabbing one of the all-time greats. I got him on my honorable mentions for All Eyes on Me, which was his double album. So, not the same album, but Tupac, I mean, you can't go wrong there. Very good choice.
Yep, my honorable mention on mine.
All right, Wiz. So, you're up, right? I'm a horrible host. I got to start. Yeah. I got to take better notes. I don't know who the hell is going or what's happening, but I think you're next.
I think so as well.
If you are, go ahead and give us your number four.
My number four is, I'm going to keep it white. So I'm going 19. Yes, I know. Hey, look, we're in the era of Trump. I can do these things.
Yeah, I guess so.
But 1995, the Beastie Boys, Ill Communications. Yep. I know we talked about it on the 90s rock thing. It could have kind of crossed over. But I think we put it in its proper place in the hip hop rap album. Probably not my favorite Beastie Boys album, but I think it was one that really, you know, set them apart. You know, they already had some great albums before that, but that one with some of the biggest hits with Sabotage and, you know, some of the other songs on there really kind of set them apart, set them as like the superstars that they really are. They do play their own their instruments, so I kind of love that part about it. So it gives it a little bit more of that rock feel, which was, you know, kind of more of my genre. But what a great album. The videos are awesome. You got Spike Jonze doing some of the videos. It's just good stuff all around. And I can go back to that album any day and listen to that thing cover to cover.
Love it. Great choice. Beastie Boys, one of my favorite groups of all time. Saw them in concert a few times. I had the benefit of being able to do that. They're amazing in concert. I think I saw them once with Rage Against the Machine. I saw them once with Green Day. They just put on a great show. And I've got Ill Communication and Check Your Head on my honorable mentions, but they didn't make it into my top five. It was tough. Ill Communication was actually my number five, and I ended up switching it out for Nas like 30 minutes ago. But very good choice. You won't get an argument from me. Love Beastie Boys. Josh, you into the Beastie Boys?
Yeah, I actually, they were off and on my top five during the course of its creation and ended up in the runners-up section. But yeah, I think this album is amazing. And it's like perfectly blended rock and hip hop together.
Yep, which was really kind of unheard of going into that. I mean, now you see it all the time, but Beastie Boys really kind of created that whole resurgence of blending those two types of music together. I mean, hell, now you can hear, who is it, Dierks Bentley with Nelly or whatever it is. I mean, people are mixing all kind of genres now, but the Beastie Boys were really at the forefront of that. All right, so good choice there, Wiz. I like it, buddy. You did very well. I'll pat you on the head later. Let's see.
Thank you, sir.
My number three, again, these are all pretty much tied, but my number three in terms of numerically on my list here is 1994's Ready to Die by Biggie Smalls, the Notorious B.I.G. My second album from 1994, which, like I said, was the year I graduated high school. Very impressionable to me. You know, I was more of a grunge rock, kind of alternative rock fan going into 1994, and this album is kind of what introduced rap to me, to be honest with you. I mean, there was a few songs here and there that I loved, but I was never buying full albums, really, until Ready to Die came out. Wiz, you and I actually worked at a record shop when this album dropped, and that was where I got it. Where I got it with my little discount there. They gave us like 30% off or something like that. But I got my little CD of Ready to Die, and I was, you know, I love when people call me Big Papa. So I was bumping that. Juicy, one of my favorite rap songs.
It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da ha, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight because I rhyme tight. Time to get paid.
One More Chance, you know, even the remix that came out later was also amazing. Two versions of that song are both really good. This is really what started the Bad Boy Renaissance, too. You know, you started to. I think this came out in 94, and after that, it was like Bad Boy just took over the rap world with P. Diddy and Mace and Lil' Kim and Junior Mafia, and it was just every other album was a Bad Boy album, and they kind of took over the 90s after that. But Notorious B.I.G. will also go down kind of like Tupac that Josh mentioned as one of the best of all time, and that's why it's my number three, Ready to Die. Also, Life After Death could have been mentioned here, but it's in my honorable mentions. I went with Ready to Die as my number three hip-hop album of the 90s. So there you go, fellas.
I like it. That's again honorable mention. You got you right in there. I mean, he again. I also remember that when we worked together at the record store.
Yeah.
That was kind of really one of my first. You know, I listened to NWA and some of the bands back in the late 80s, early 90s. But that was more. This was more just kind of accessible to everybody. So it was. It was definitely an awesome album, and again, my honorable mention on there.
Love it. Josh,
yeah, this takes me back to a time and a place. High school, every morning I would get ready and watch TRL. And when this album came out, it was constantly on the top. I think they did like the top 10 videos of the day, and it was always in the top five. So yeah, it just takes me back to getting ready for high school with both dread and anxiety.
And then as soon as you got on the bus or in the car, you're like, ah, shit, well, that's over. On to real life now. All right, Josh, you're up, man. I think you're up. Number three for your number three 90s hip-hop album. What you got, man?
Yes, so this is where I started to stray from rap and go more into hip-hop. Uh-huh. And anyone who listens to some of my shows knows I'm a big fan of The Real Housewives. And Candy Burris wrote most of this album, which is Crazy Sexy Cool by TLC.
Ah, okay.
And I think they really ushered in female hip hop into the top 40, which is why I had to pick TLC.
Yeah, it's fair.
It also was, if you're looking at the Wikipedia definition of hip hop, like they meet it perfectly. It is the rhythmic music with singing and rap.
Yeah,
and burning really down houses.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do not cross them. Do not cross them, whatever you do. But no, yeah, Left Eye had some raps on there, absolutely.
Yeah, and just like I think 90% of the songs on this album were in like Billboard's top five at one point or another. So I just think what they did, they ushered in female hip hop into the top 40. They were like a feminist hip hop band, which I think is really awesome. And one of them went on to be a Real Housewife of Atlanta. So
I actually didn't know that. Actually, I actually didn't know she was on Real Housewives until I was learning something new every time I listen to you, Josh, even on my own show. All right, so there you go. Crazy, Sexy, Cool is number three, right? For you, Josh, that was your number three.
Yeah.
So, Wiz, you're up, man. What's your number three 90s hip-hop album? What you got, buddy?
You know what? Here's where we had some crossover here. So my number three is the Slim Shady LP from 99. So I think you said it best, you kind of summarized it. Just great album. You know, I'm a big fan of any kind of artist coming out and just saying their name and their song. Mm-hmm. And Hi, My Name Is was kind of a great introduction to, you know, even, well, you go back to, you know, Notorious B.I.G. with Notorious with the Duran Duran sample underneath it, you know. Eminem's, I mean, it really was a great album. I was the white rapper, the cliche. But then when you listen to it, I mean, he had some great lyrics, great songs. Obviously, Dre producing it helped out a bunch. But it really was a very, very good album. Number three.
Out of curiosity, what's your favorite song off that album?
Yeah, I actually just listened to it, and Hi, My Name is one I could always go back to. Just because it's kind of a fun thing. A lot of pop culture references, mm-hmm. whether he's ripping Pamela Anderson's tits off or, putting Nine Inch Nails through each one of his eyelids.
Yeah.
Hi, kids. Do you like violence?
Yeah,
wanna
yeah,
see
yeah.
me stick Nine Inch Nails through each one of my eyelids?
Uh-huh.
Wanna copy me and do exactly like I did?
Yeah,
Try
yeah.
Sid and get fucked up worse than my life is?
You know, it's kind of a fun little song. Some of the deeper stuff, not really for me, but that song I can go back to every time.
Yeah, and he did basically an updated version of that with the real Slim Shady, Please Stand Up, right? I mean, it was all just pop culture references and. Kind of like Josh said, I mean, he basically reinvented what we thought we knew about rap music, you know, and I think it all started with the Slim Shady LP. So, hey, as you know, it's on my list. So no argument for me, buddy. Nice choice there. So we are up to our top two. So we're up to our runner ups here. I'll go first. My number two album in hip hop rap from the 1990s is The Low End Theory by A Tribe Called Quest. Tribe Called Quest is timeless. Any song on this album, and really any of their albums, you can go back and listen to. You know, Scenario introduced us to Busta Rhymes. Butter is one of my favorites.
1988, senior year at Garvey High, where all the guys were corny, but the girls were mad fly. Lounging with the tipster, cooling with Shaw, scoping out the honeys, they know who they are. I was the b-ball playing, fly rhyme saying, fly girl getting, but never was I sweating. Cause when it came to honeys, I would go in a stroke. Until I met my match, her name was Flo. Yeah, I messed around with the one called Flo. All the troopers round the way used to call her a hoe. But deep down in my heart, I knew that Flo was good to go. Cause I thought it was me, like Belle Biv DeVoe. But little did I know that she was playing with my mind. The only thing I've learned is good girls are hard to find. I feel like Heavy D, I need somebody for me. Not someone whose mind is blank and trying to juice me for my banks. Swinging with my main man, Lucky behind my back. What type of crap is that? Yo, how's about a smack? Word life, I can't front. Thought I was all that, but now it seems I've met my match. I was a
Check the Rhyme, maybe the most popular off the album. Telling stories. Fife Dawg, who passed away last year. Rest in peace. But just a great lyricist. Q-Tip, I mean, still one of the most recognizable voices, and he's an amazing producer as well. But Tribe Called Quest was really... that album specifically, The Low End Theory, I wore it out. I mean, my CD was just so worn out, it just wouldn't even play anymore. And I still go back to it. It stands the test of time, no doubt. So that is my number two, A Tribe Called Quest, The Low End Theory for my number two.
Love it. Great choice on there.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Josh,
you're welcome.
Josh, that leads us to you, man, for your runner-up hip-hop album from the 90s. What do you got there, Josh?
Yeah, it pains me that I picked this guy and put him so high up because he's kind of a tool. but this album, while exploitive, I think was genius, and that's No Way Out by Puff Daddy.
Hey, there you go.
This is his first album, and it came out of nowhere, and it definitely exploited the death of Notorious B.I.G. Yeah. But just brilliant. Also, another album, like hip hop album, that made hip hop more accessible.
True.
Missing You, if you think about that song, had so many hip hop artists. It was on like Casey Kasem's Countdown had it. Like, it was everywhere. It became like the 90s ubiquitous hip hop song. And that, I think, is really cool for someone who just came out with their first album.
Still living your life after death. Yeah.
And then you look at the It's All About the Benjamins remix, Can't Nobody Hold Me Down, Been Around the World. Mm-hmm. Like this album, again, the guy's a douche, but just brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the most popular and commercially successful albums really ever in the world of hip hop. But yeah, I love that album when it came out. I mean, I'll go ahead and tell you, I got no problem admitting that. All About the Benjamins was one of my favorite rap songs, with that rap with Biggie at the end. And I mean, it was just great. I mean, even when he showed up on Life After Death, Mo Money, Mo Problems, those guys got together. I mean, it was a great, you couldn't refute it was a great song. You bobbed your head, you want to get up and dance. And, you know, Puff Daddy kind of mastered that switch from producer to artist, which is what he did with his album No Way Out. And it's kind of like what we saw with Kanye, you know, 15, 20 years later, kind of shifting from producer to now being a performer. And like you said, he kind of mastered it. I mean, it blew up. It was everywhere. So he was doing something right. So there you go. Your runner up, man. No Way Out. P. Diddy. I don't know. What are we supposed to call him? We're supposed to call Puff Daddy or Puffy or I don't know. P. Dicky. I don't know. All right. So wait a minute. Number two, Wiz, what you got over there, buddy?
I agree that P. Diddy is, or whatever his name is, a douchebag, but a good choice on there, Joshua. My number two, this was these when I walked through my college dorm room or the halls, this album was always just playing in the hallways. But this was the 1993 Snoop Dogg Doggy Style,
yeah, man,
album. That again, another album where it introduces him with his name. What's my name? Mm-hmm. And that's Snoop Dogg.
Of the sea, back to the block, Snoop Doggy Dogg, funky, yes, the dot went solo on that ass, but it's still the same. Long Beach is the spot where I serve my cane. Follow me, but don't lose your grip. 9 trizz ain't the years there for me to fuck up, shit. So I ain't holding nothing back, and motherfucker, I got 5 on the 20 sack. It's like that, and as a matter of fact, cause I never hesitate to put a nigga on his back.
Yeah, so peep out the manuscript. You see that it's a must we drop
dead. What's really the motherfucking name? Yeah, what's my name? All the funk from George Clinton, everything that he was doing with Dre kind of crossed over. So it was just a hot album. You know, lyrically, it was fun. And you know, it was great, you know, but he was smooth. Everything was Snoop Dogg is just so smooth.
True.
And we got Fajizzle and my nizzle from all of that. Just a great introduction to this artist. I mean, obviously he's still in the zeitgeist today. You know, he's on a cooking show with Martha Stewart. Mm-hmm, so,
yeah.
You know, even 20 some years later, he's still doing it. So Snoop Dogg Doggy Style is my number two album.
Love it, man. I got introduced to that album, Mowing Grass. I was cutting grass.
What type of grass? We're talking about Snoop Dogg here.
Yeah, I was actually cutting lawns. But yeah, I was in high school and I had a summer job cutting lawns and, I had like my one black friend, you know, in high school. I was on the basketball team, so I had several. That's not true, but one guy I hung out with outside of school, and you know, cutting his family's yard, and he's like, "You got to hear this, man!" And I'm like, "All right, whatever." And that's how I got introduced to it. So I was listening to it on my little disc, man, while I was cutting his yard, and I was like, "Damn, this is good, dude." Well, Lottie Dottie is probably my favorite. His reinvention of that Slick Rick song on there. But yeah, I love that album, man. It's on my honorable mentions, but it is definitely one of the staples to come out of the 1990s. So good choice there, man.
Well, thank you.
Doggy Style. That's a sexual reference, right? I think that's a sexual reference.
I believe so.
All right.
I think so.
I wouldn't know. I've been married too long.
Just checking. I was hoping Josh had it pulled up on Wikipedia so he could let me know. But I think that's what it is. All right. Let's see. My number one. We're at our number ones, right? Is that what we're doing, guys? Yeah. Somebody help me out here. We're number ones. Okay. So my number one album, maybe some crossover, I'm not sure. I would be surprised if not, but hey, who knows? Like I said, you surprised me with the rock albums, Wiz. However, my number one album to come out of the 90s in the world of hip-hop is Dr. Dre's The Chronic as my number one, and kind of what you were just talking about with Snoop Dogg, this introduced us to him, or introduced the world to him, with G-Thing, and it created a subgenre called G-Funk, which ended up being my nickname. Another interesting story, but I would show up to parties in high school. And I got to tell you guys, I was a pretty popular guy. I was kind of a big deal in high school. I kind of had it going on. So that should be a preface to this story. But I would show up to, you know, parties every, you know, few months when one of my friends would have a party and stuff like that. And anytime I would get there, they would just change the music to G-Thing. And it was like my theme song in high school. So to this day, it's one of my favorite songs because I have such good memories of that. And people just kind of, I don't know why, my nickname was G, so maybe that's why, but they just associated that song with me. And then they ended up naming that genre of rap music that was kind of like gangster rap, but more, I don't know how to put it, more poppy, I guess, but it was still gangster rap. And they ended up terming, or they ended up creating the term G-Funk as that type of music that Dr. Dre created. And then we saw it on Doggy Style that Wiz mentioned. We see it with Warren G a couple years later.
1, 2, 3 into the folks. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door, ready to make an entrance, so back on up, cause you know we're about to rip shit up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G-Thang, baby. Too low, death nigga, so we're crazy. Death Row is the label that pays, man. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake this. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand from a young G's perspective. And before me dig on a bitch, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man and learning her man, and at the same time burning her man. Now you know I ain't with that shit, Lieutenant. Ain't no pussy good enough to get burned while I'm offended. And that's realer than real deal, Holyfield. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get broke off a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this, Anna. It's like that and like this and like that, Anna. It's like this
and
like that.
You know, I mean, G-Thing, obviously, but you got Let Me Ride on there. Just cover to cover, one of my favorite albums to this day is Dr. Dre, who is arguably the father of hip-hop, definitely to come out of the 90s, and The Chronic. My number one. I did smoke a lot of weed. I take that back. I should tell you. Because I did smoke a lot of weed. However, that was in college, so that was a few years after this, but that wasn't why I had an attachment to the album originally, but The Chronic is my number one by Dr. Dre. You guys cool with that?
I think so, yes.
Awesome. All right, we'll move right along then. Josh Hallmark, my special guest, your number one hip-hop album in the 1990s.
So again, I picked someone who's kind of, can we cuss on the show?
Yes. Nobody listens to this. And all right. Yeah, absolutely.
Picked another asshole. But she, I think, just one of the most talented assholes to ever hit the hip hop industry. And that is The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Oh yeah. It's on honorables.
Like the Fugees could have been on here, but I think that she really peaked when she went solo. Like, you look at this album and it's X Factor, it's Zion, it's Everything Is Everything, Nothing Even Matters, Doo Wop, Can't Take My Eyes Off You. Like, just every song was a hit. Mm-hmm.
With his rims and his Timbs and his women, him and his men, come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they offend, popping yang.
Like you got yang.
Let's not pretend. The one that pack pissed out by the waistman, crissed out by the casement. Still the name of this basement. The pretty face man, claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their 3 and 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support.
It definitely, like, I noticed female R&B musicians suddenly kind of. We're very inspired by this album, because you look at Whitney Houston, whose album after this had My Love Is My Love, which could have been a Lauryn Hill song.
Yeah,
like, she changed the way female R&B musicians made music. And what was crazy, she was only 23 when she released this.
Yeah.
I just think beautiful voice, amazing to talk about, kind of going back to that Tupac album, like talking about things that most R&B and hip hop musicians weren't talking about, because there was this like machismo and pride in it. And she's talking about being like a teenage mother and, just like life on the street. And yeah, I just think it's brilliant. And, you know, she could have had a great career, but she's an asshole. So
that's what I heard. Yeah. I love this album too. It's on my honorable mentions, and I remember when it came out, I was hooked to it. Such a distinguishable voice, a great voice, kind of up there with like Erykah Badu too. I was a big fan of in the 90s, and I mean, just great voice. Lauryn Hill's amazing. The Fugees is also on my honorable mentions. The score,
I was going to say that the score is on my honorable mention.
Yeah, I mean, her voice just is such a standout. You know, it just jumps out at you through your speakers. So that's a great number one, Josh. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Very good. All right, Wiz, you wrap us up, man. It's your number one, so bring the heat. What you got, brother?
Well, I just want to propose that we do top five douchebag albums next time we're around here. I think the three of us could get together and pick a couple Kanye albums as well.
Yeah, top five professional asshole albums. Yes. With Josh Allmark.
Well, you know what? G, you and I, we doubled up again here.
There it is.
My number one is Dr. Dre, The Chronic.
Yeah, gotta be, right? Gotta be. I agree. Yeah. You tell us your spiel, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I know it was kind of his introductory album, but, you know, he was with NWA, obviously, prior, which, you know, I was a big fan of, again, white kid in his Mazda 66 blasting straight out of Compton. So yeah, gangster right here. But yeah, just when that came on, yeah, just the beats, just it's that slow jam. It was definitely a departure from what NWA was doing. But just, you know, bringing in all the samples, all the beats, just nothing but a G thing. I mean, it's just smooth. I mean, you could just, yeah, as you said, you walk into a party and that comes on, mm-hmm. man, it's gonna be a good time. It's gonna be a good night. So there is nothing wrong with putting that album on and sitting back. I still think it holds up. A lot of these albums definitely hold up.
Yeah.
I've got a 19-year-old son who still listens to a lot of this stuff, you know, as well as, you know, some of the newer things. So it's still making the rounds with the teenagers, and, you know, hopefully when he walks into a party, they're playing it too. So
yeah, but in the world of rap, this is as classic as it gets, right? When you use the term classic, I mean, this is a classic rap album. The Chronic, actually a lot of these are, but The Chronic from 1992 is Wiz's number one, is my number one. We got a match there. Josh, we match with you with anything? No, you didn't match anybody, did you?
No, sure didn't. No.
Well, you had all the assholes. I took them off my list.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, these guys are assholes.
I'm like, assholes.
I'm not gonna put these guys. I'm just kidding. Everybody had a great list. So that's let's do a quick wrap up. I'll go first, I guess. So my number five was Nas, Illmatic. Number four was a Slim Shady LP by Eminem. Number three was Ready to Die by the Notorious B.I.G. A Tribe Called Quest, The Low End Theory was my number two. And number one was Dre's The Chronic. Josh, what was your five again? Give us a wrap up.
Yeah, number five was Diggable Planets, Reachin', A New Reputation of Time and Space. Number four was Tupac with Me Against the World. Number three was TLC's Crazy Sexy Cool. Number two was Puff Daddy with No Way Out. And number one was The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
There it is. And Wiz, your number five or your top five?
I got number five, Outkast, Aquamini.
Yeah, you're still struggling.
We're gonna
with
just
that.
Say, yeah, I'm struggling with that one. I'm a Gemini too. I should be able to get that. Number four, Ill Communication by the Beastie Boys. Number three was Eminem's The Slim Shady LP. Number two, Snoop Doggy Dogg with Doggy Style. And coming in at number one, Dr. Dre, The Chronic.
Awesome. So we'll do a few honorable mentions here if you guys have them that didn't make the cut for your top five. Most of my honorable mentions got actually mentioned on the show today, but the only ones that didn't, I don't think, I apologize if maybe they did and I missed it, but Enter the Woo, 36 Chambers by the Wu-Tang Clan. Hit me like a ton of bricks when that came out. And Mama Said Knock You Out by Ladies Love Cool J. I love that album. All Round Away Girl, you know what I mean? LL. I mean, he was even serenading me. I was like, I don't know, man. I need to find LL, see what's going on. LL was a ladies' man, brother. So he turned that whole kind of like Marvin Gaye thing into rap, which I thought was really cool. And Mama Said Knock You Out was probably his best album, in my opinion. Nice. Although I did love, like, I Need Love and all those old school, I'm Bad and all those old school ones too. But I believe that was 80s, if I'm not mistaken. Honorable mentions for you, Wiz. You got any over there that didn't get picked up today?
Yeah, I got ODB, a little DMX. It's Dark and Hell Is Hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So DMX scares the hell out of me though, still to this day. I mean, he's barking at me. He's like, whoa.
Very frightening.
Cypress Hill's Black Sunday, and gotta throw in Jay-Z. I'm gonna go Volume 2, Hard Knock Life.
Yeah, Reasonable Doubt too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So something by, got to throw Jay-Z in there a little bit.
Yeah, honestly, I'm surprised he didn't show up on somebody's list today, gotta be honest with you. He's one of those, you know, just iconic voices that come out of the world of hip hop. Absolutely. So good call there. Josh, did you have any honorable mentions you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I had two that didn't make it to anyone's list. The first is Nia by Blackalicious, mm-hmm. Which I would put in the same category as Diggable Planets, just like indie. Right. Hip hop that kind of blends jazz and other elements from like other genres like rock and oldies, and yeah, just great album.
Right.
And then this album wasn't hip hop, but it started the career of, I think, one of the greatest hip hop musicians out there still to this day, which is What's the 411 by Mary J. Blige.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. She would definitely be on several R&B lists, I'm sure. But yeah, good. Mary J. Can't go wrong there. Okay, so that's it. That's our top five hip-hop slash rap albums from the 1990s. And also our top two or three assholes from the world of hip-hop.
Very good.
It's according to Josh. So I want to let Mr. Hallmark tell you where to find him. Listen, I love this guy. He does podcasts, but he's, you know, you say he does podcasts, but so do I. And I'm, look at me, I don't know what the hell I am. But he is a great storyteller. I mean, he does Our Americana, which, by the way, where the hell is it?
It's on hiatus. It takes like 80 hours to produce an episode.
No,
so
yeah.
I have to take 3 month breaks. Yeah.
I could see that. But he does Our Americana, and Mixtape is the new, or Mixtape is, you are inspiring us to do a podcast called Mixtape. You have one called Playlist. Wiz and I are actually going to be doing one that we've been talking about for a little while that I got to be honest with you, you're an inspiration for, so I really appreciate it. But why don't you tell people where they can find Playlist and Our Americana when it comes back and anything else you want to talk about there, Josh?
Yeah, so I have three shows out right now. The first is Playlist that you can catch pretty much every single week. And that is, I collect a different roundtable each week of podcasters, and we pick a theme and talk about music that falls under that theme. Mm-hmm. And that is Playlist Podcast. You can find it on Twitter, Facebook, and anywhere you get your pods. And then I also produce the Karen and Ellen Letters, which is a true-ish comedic mystery, which I think is a genre in and of itself now. That is debuting its second season on October 17th, and it basically is found correspondence acted out by actors and my journey to authenticate it. And then Our Americana is every episode I go to a small town in America where something strange has happened that has created, cultivated, or challenged community. And that is on a break until February 1st, but there's a great back catalog that you can go explore. And that is narrative storytelling. So I interview locals and kind of weave their stories together. And then I also produce the Two Pods a Day campaign, which is coming back October 1st.
Yep.
And that's just every day for a month, you get two episodes of two different indie podcasts. So it's a great way to expand your catalog.
That's right. And we were you had us on there, and I really appreciate it. You featured us, I believe, in August, right? Is it the last time you did it? In August?
Yeah.
Yeah. Two Pods a Day is really cool. You can look them up on Twitter also. We'll look up that campaign on Twitter. But yeah, Josh Hallmark's great. I mean, you know, we say the word, we use the term podcaster, but to me, Josh, you're a story. Teller. And I gotta be honest, I mean, I know it's cheesy, but you seriously are an inspiration. Like, I listen to you and I go, wow, this guy knows what the hell he's doing. And then I get on the mic and people are like, this guy, what the fuck is this guy talking about, you know? But I, you know, I appreciate everything you do out there, Josh. Two pods a day, and obviously the shows you're producing as well, very entertaining. If they're looking up Playlists, which I know is the new thing for you, what episode would you direct them to first? Which one should they download first and check out?
You know, I think the two that I love the most are Cover Me, which is the most recent episode, and Love Song.
Yeah.
And I think what's great about it, and I feel like people have really responded to, is hearing podcasters they really enjoy in a different context, you know, like hearing the true crime podcasters cuss and talk about sex and making fun of people, and hearing the more I don't know, like sensitive podcasters like me cuss and get drunk and, you know, give people a hard time, and
right.
And it's just a nice way to kind of go down memory lane through music. So I mean, all the episodes are great, but those are the two big ones.
Yeah, hey, I agree with that. I love both of those episodes a lot. Love Song was probably the one I would throw out to people, because I think every song on there I was like, wow, this is great. Everybody had really good choices. But I'm looking forward to coming on there too. I know we've been chatting about that, making that happen in the future. So thanks for that. I'm looking forward to it. Wiz, Chris Wiz, you don't have anything going on, do you? Or do you
No. You can find me at like Bed Bath and Beyond.
I can find you. I don't know. In the
your local grocery store, picking up the kids in the school line.
Basically.
So yes.
Basically.
Yeah. I'm just producing happiness right now.
I love it, man. Hey, you're making people happy. You make me happy. I appreciate that. You know, I don't have a lot of friends, dude. You take one for the team there. People don't want to be friends with me.
You're my charity case, sir.
Thank you for doing that. But Wiz and I are in cahoots because we are possibly going to be doing a music podcast of our own, Wiz.
Yeah, and, I'm looking forward to it.
We're looking into that, getting that started up here in the next couple months. So that's exciting. And hopefully Josh will listen because he's an inspiration for that show. So that'd be great. Josh Hallmark from Our Americana Playlist and, of course, the Two Pods a Day campaign. Thanks so much for being here, man. I hope you enjoyed kind of going down the hip hop avenue here. I know you don't do that too often, so I hope you enjoyed that. And
that was great.
And Wiz, I'll probably talk to you again. I don't know. I will see. I'll probably hit you up online.
Was this it? This is the end of it?
This could be the last time we talk to each other. If not, I'll see you online. Both of you guys, I really appreciate it. That's it for this bonus episode of Two Peas. Just to remind everyone, please head on over to twopeasonapod.com and click on our contact page. That way you can subscribe via really any podcasting app that you use. And you can also send us messages right there directly from the website. We have a Patreon campaign, and you get to pick top five lists for us if you are a patron of the show. So head over to patreon.com/twopeasonapod and donate to the show that way. For Josh and for Chris Wiz, I'm Gerald with Two Peas. I really appreciate you guys tuning in to this bonus episode. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.